Welcome to this symposium. The primary objective of OnFarm Network is to use different precision ag tools to evaluate nitrogen management. And most of this evaluation are focused on late season. Why late season? The early corn growth and development are quite extremely dynamic in Iowa. It's difficult to quantify how much nitrogen is coming from soil organic matter. And also, it's difficult to quantify how much nitrogen we will lose with early season rainfall. In addition, there are several logistic challenges for diagnosing nitrogen status early in the season. That's why we have so many presentations about crop sensor and other new tools. For late season evaluation, we utilize two tools. One, it's a late season cornstalk nitrate test. The test measures nitrogen status or nitrogen sufficiency level. It works the best in the near optimum and excessive ranges. The other tool, which is the late season digital aerial imagery, it works the best in deficient range and near optimum range. The late season aerial imagery, it's not calibrated. It doesn't have radiometric correction like sensor. Therefore, we apply special technique, which is called image enhancement method. Essentially, we apply so-called pseudo-calibration. This is two examples. The enhancement of this imagery allows to extend the dynamic range, which is the difference between the lightest and the darkest color in the imagery, and it gives us much better visual patterns on the imagery, raw imagery and enhanced. By using these two tools, one which works in the optimal excessive ranges the best, and the other which works the best in deficient ranges, we develop so-called guided cornstalk nitrate survey, where we use this imagery. The imagery is taken in late August. We overlay with digital soil types. We select three sampling areas within three predominant soil types to get the average nitrogen status from the field. The fourth sample, we call it the target deficient sample, we select in the area which looks deficient, just to be sure that the yellow color in the imagery is truly nitrogen stressed and not something else. We utilized this survey at about 700 fields in 2006 and 800 fields in 2007, 2008. The primary objective of this survey was to get the average nitrogen status of these fields across Iowa and see what management practices affected this average nitrogen status. But what we have not done, and what's very interesting, whether we can use this uncalibrated late season imagery trying to predict nitrogen status within the field, meaning that we want to know not just the average status, but what's the spatial nitrogen status of these fields late in the season. And the second objective, we want to look at different factors which, if we can predict this nitrogen status, what factors will affect or affected this, the size of this area with different nitrogen status across all of these fields in Iowa. These are the stock nitrate distribution. Essentially, in 2006, 2007, we have the black lines. Those represent three samples, which were selected to get the average nitrogen status. And the red dotted line, it's a target deficient. What it shows that definitely the imagery is helpful to get this nitrogen deficiency, because the frequency for target deficient samples much higher than for the rest of them. But what is important from this distribution, that this distribution are in extremely skewed. They are not normal. And in addition, the stock test is a more qualitative tool. Therefore, any analysis with continuous data doesn't have sense. We apply a categorical analysis. We use a binary logistic regression. We use the green reflectance. We extracted the green reflectance from the area about 5 meters in diameter from each of these sampling area within the field. We use the green reflectance trying to predict deficient or sufficient nitrogen status. And sufficient here, it's a combination of marginal, optimal, and excessive stock test categories. One of the unique challenges we have that all of these fields, some of these fields had different hybrids. Plus the imagery was not calibrated and we have only 4 points within each field. To deal with this challenge, we apply so-called multi-level or hierarchical regression analysis. It's a type of analysis which deals with different sources of variation at different levels or scales. In our case, we had 2 levels. It's a within field level and field level. For within field level, for this binary logistic regression, the slope and intercept, they were random, which means they varied by field. For the field level model, it's a model which done simultaneously. It's a probability model of these all random intercept and slopes. Essentially, this type of analysis is called partial pooling because this parameter, they control the within field level regression and vice versa. We apply the same type of analysis for yield data, and tomorrow we'll have a poster with yield response data only with a Bayesian statistic. But in this type of analysis, essentially we could pull data without ignoring among field variation. And these are examples of 4 fields for multiple regression model done for 2006. Essentially we have, if it's 1, it's a sufficient nitrogen status, observed sufficient nitrogen status, or deficient, 0. The solid lines are within field models, and the dashed line, those are field level models. Essentially, those are averages, all of these random models within each field. And as the green reflectance increase, the probability to test sufficient decrease, or probability to test deficient decrease. But what is unique here that the primary purpose was to get this critical green reflectance range. Essentially, it allows us to separate sufficient and deficient sample, like in these fields. Each field has a different critical green reflectance range. Another important feature of this analysis that even if all of these 4 stock samples tested in one category with either sufficient, deficient, we still could get these critical ranges because the green reflectance by itself was also set as a random. That's why we could estimate these reflectances or these critical reflectances for each of these fields. This is the summary for the field level regression. Essentially, these are averages of all fields within a year. If green reflectance increased on the imagery, the probability to test deficient increased by 3 to 6%. But what is important here that by using this type of analysis, there was a relatively high prediction rate. The total prediction rate was above 90%, and we still could predict correctly above 70 or 90% of deficient samples. Now, if we have these critical green reflectance ranges, we can actually go and separate fields into sufficient and deficient area. What we have done, we extracted pixel count for green reflectance, like in this field. This is distribution of pixel count for this field. Here is the critical reflectance. This is sufficient area and deficient. For this specific field, we had 34% of deficient area, 66% of sufficient. The most of interest for us is the percentage of deficient area. If we look at the percentage of deficient area among the 3 years, 2006, 7, and 8, and these are box plot, these are means, these are median. The median deficient area for 2006 was almost 0, 50% for 2007, and 60% for 2008. Why it's so big difference? The difference is in amount of rainfall. 2006 was relatively dry summer, relatively wet spring, and excessively wet growing season 2008. But what is important that even in relatively dry 2006, some of the field had a large percentage of deficient area because mean was much higher than median. The question is why? We apply a multiple regression analysis where we try to predict what factors control or affect the size of this deficient area within all of these fields. For predictor variables, we use a nitrogen management category, which is a combination of form and timing. total nitrogen rate applied, early season rainfall, and this is a spatial rainfall, June, May, or spring rainfall, field size, and other factor. The best multiple regression models predicted about 8 to 13% of the total variation in the size of deficient area, which is doesn't seem like a lot, but what is important that the same factors were significant in each year. In 2006, for example, nitrogen management category, total nitrogen rain apply, June rainfall 2006, May rainfall 2007, and spring rainfall 2008. The total nitrogen rate apply was significant only in two years. There was a significant interaction between nitrogen management category and the previous crop. But now we want to look what are the differences between these different nitrogen management categories. For the nitrogen management categories, and as I mentioned, it's a combination of form and timing. We had five major management categories. It's anhydrous ammonia in fall, anhydrous ammonia apply in spring, injected swine manure apply in fall, and liquid nitrogen or UAN apply sidegrass or spring. The largest percentage deficient area was for liquid nitrogen applied at sidegrass in 2006, a relatively dry year. The question is why? Especially for corn after corn, when this nitrogen was applied in June, with lack of moisture, this nitrogen was not available for plant. Although the yield were, we had almost record yield in Iowa. The second largest percentage deficient was for liquid nitrogen applied in spring, and the lowest was for anhydrous ammonia applied in spring. In 2007, relatively wet year, there was a significant interaction between crop rotation, a previous crop, and nitrogen categories. But on average, the fields corn after corn, these lighter bars, they had the larger percentage of deficient area within fields. If you look at the 2007-2008, which is a relatively wet year, the lowest percentage deficient area was for anhydrous ammonia applied in spring. The largest percentage deficient area were for injected swine manure in fall, liquid nitrogen sidegrass, and liquid nitrogen in spring. What does it mean that on average, the losses within these fields, which were much higher than for spring application? Why? Because in UAN contains nitrate, and with a lot of rainfall, we lose a lot of nitrate. And swine manure, we lose a lot of nitrogen from swine manure, and also it's not clear when this nitrogen is becoming available. The same is to 2008. The total nitrogen rate applied for anhydrous ammonia spring were 50 or 60 pounds less than injected swine manure and about 10 or 15 pounds more than liquid nitrogen applied sidegrass. And in summary, we developed a procedure which allows us to calibrate this uncalibrated digital imagery for binary nitrogen status. We could predict this binary nitrogen status within fields spatially, and we found that the largest effect on the size of this deficient area had early season rainfall and nitrogen management category, which is a combination of forms and timing, and total nitrogen rate applied has a much smaller effect than nitrogen management and early season rainfall. Thank you. Thank you for your attention.